Could we just come now and ask the Lord to bless his word as we look at it this morning, that I'll be hid behind the cross and none will be seen but Jesus only. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank thee for what our sister has sang to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, bless the Heyburn family today. Comfort them, we pray. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, I pray for the people of God, those that have tuned in and those in the building. Lord, that you'll bless their souls this morning. Lord, I pray for if there's one in our meeting that knows you not as Savior or has tuned in, Lord, that they might come and put their trust in thee. If there's one that hath wandered away from thee, Lord, that they'll come back to thee. Now, Lord, I just pray, help me, speak through me today, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. The setting of this song is most helpful. It arose from David's heart in the time of piercing trial. Saul had lost out with God and was removed as king. David had been anointed king in his place. Saul's jealousy knew no boundaries. He was determined to destroy David. In his deep trial, David turned to his God. And we read in verse 6 of Psalm 18, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears." Here we see David as a praying man. And God was found to be a prayer-answering God. You know, child of God, the greater the difficulties that we lie in the way of deliverance, the more glorious is that deliverance. God will not only deliver his people, but out of their troubles in due time, but he will sustain them and bear them up under their troubles. You know, we read in verse 1, after the death of Saul, David turned to the scripture and he said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." He turned to the God of heaven and he said, "I will love thee." Oh, friends, the great commandment to God's people today is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength. This morning, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength? You know, Psalm 18 is a wonderful psalm about the life of David. And in it, we also have the truth of what our Savior has done for David and can also do for us. David came through many battles, but the results were good, as God never left him down and always saw him through. No matter what the problems were, he trusted in his Lord. You know, child of God, we can have the same results of David. Simply turn our problems over to the Lord. Turn our weaknesses over to the Lord. Our failures over to the Lord. If we just put our faith in him for all things, whether they be big or small, there is nothing too hard for our Lord. God always watched over David. He overcame through the Lord. And child of God, the Lord also watches over you, and you can overcome by the Lord. We read in Psalm 18, 30 and 32, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. I want you to notice, first of all, that expression in verse 30. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. God speaks of my way. He also speaks of his way. You know, child of God, this is where the great problem occurs in the Christian life. The old man wants to go his way. He doesn't want to go God's way in his life. That is happening to the people of God. You know, when his way becomes my way, not only is his way perfect, then my way becomes perfect as I accept his way. You know, it's so easy to say his way is perfect when everything is going the way we think it should go, when we're up in the mountain top. But you know, when we're down in the valley, no matter what way we're in, if we're in the mountain top or we're in the valley, friends, God's way is still perfect. Everything God does is perfect. The Lord is working in our lives to transform us so that we come to believe and trust in him, so that we may declare, I want God's way to be my way. I want us, first of all, this morning, to consider in verse 1 to 3, I want us to consider that David could say that God delivers. God delivers. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David could say that God is strength. David could say that God is a rock. David could say that God is a fortress. David could say that God is a buckler. David could say that God is a horn. And David is a high tower. But you know, he could also say that God is a deliverer. But God is not just these. Notice the pronoun. David could say, he is my strength. David could say, he is my rock. David could say, he is my fortress. David could say, he is my buckler and my horn and my high tower. You know, child of God, this morning, you can say the same. He is my strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my buckler, the horn of and my high tower. But best of all, you can say, he is your deliverer. You know, when the attack of the evil one comes to you, you can say, he is my deliverer. David is running to the rock. He is fleeing to the rock. Saul wants to kill him. All the enemies want to deal with him. But this man of God flees. He flees to the deliverer. He fights in God's strength. He flees to God, his high tower. A child of God needs to know when to flee and when to fight against the enemy. We are told in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness. You know, we need to run from them. We need to run to God. My favorite psalm is the Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. You know, the men, when they go out into the mountains, in the mountains they take what's called a refuge tent with them. And you know, when the snow comes and the blizzards come and it gets cold and there's a danger to their lives, they put up this tent, which is called the refuge tent, and they flee into that tent. There they take food to give them strength, and there they take things to help them. You know, friends, God is our refuge and strength. When the old devil comes to attack us, we can flee into that refuge tent. The Bible tells us that they that renew their strength, they that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. You know, he was fighting against an enemy. In verse 17 he said, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." You know, friends, when the attack comes to us, when we find that that attack is too strong, we can flee to our God and know that he will deliver us. You know, we remember about Daniel. Daniel was put into the lion's den. And there Daniel was in that lion's den. And Billy Sunday, in his normal way, said that night Daniel had the best sleep ever, because he put his head down upon the mane of the lion and had the best sleep ever, because God was about to deliver him. The three young Jews who were put into that lake of fire, they were also delivered. Oh, friend, this morning, take this to your heart. Our God delivers. When the old Satan comes to attack us, our God can deliver us. Maybe you're in this meeting this morning and you're saying to me, "Tommy, I'm not saved. I have never come to trust the Lord as my Savior." You're maybe tuning into this meeting this morning and you say that sin has such a grip on my life, I can't break this sin. You know, friend, the Lord Jesus can deliver you. We have a hymn and it says, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me." You know, friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse the vilest of sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse the greatest of sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ can save the weakest of sinners. He can deliver you from all that sin in your life if you only come and trust him. Ask him to wash you in his precious blood, and he will deliver you. Child of God, do you remember that day that you were delivered from sin? Oh, we'll never be delivered from sin until we get to heaven. But I'm talking about the day that you realized that you were a sinner, that you came to the Savior, and he delivered you from going to a Christless eternity. Oh, praise God this morning. We can say with David that our God delivers. But I want you to notice also God delights. God delights. In verse 19, David could say, "He delivered me because he delighted in me." The Bible here tells us that God delighted in David. Verse 19, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." That word delighted can also be used as love. He delivered him because he loved him. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For who the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delights." As a father delights in his children, God delights in us. You know, I remember many a time my children would come to me and they would say, "Dad, can I have this?" Or they would say to me, "Dad, can I go there?" And there's times I would have had to say, "No, you can't have this," or "No, you can't go there." It wasn't because I didn't love them or I didn't delight in them. It was because I knew what was good for them. And you know, child of God, there's times when we pray to the Lord and we ask for something, but we don't get it. The reason for that is God knows what's good for you, and he knows what's good for me. You know, the greatest thing is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the amazing thing is not that I love God. The amazing thing is that God loves me. Oh, friend, he loves you. He delights in you. He wants to do things for you. Maybe today there's a child of God in the meeting, and you have trials and problems in your life. You have burdens that no one else knows about. I was reading a story the other day about a man called John Moore. And John Moore was a man who would go round the boats in Glasgow, and he would witness to the sailors in the boats. And he went into a boat this day, and he said to the captain, "Can I witness to your men?" And the captain said, "I'm sorry, most of the men are out on leave." But he said, would you visit a young man in the main Glasgow hospital?" John Moore said, "I certainly will." He made his way to the hospital, and there he found the young man. He started to talk about things, asking him where he was from and different things. And then John Moore presented the gospel to him, and he saw a tear come to that young man's eye. And the young man said, "Sir, my parents had witnessed to me, but you know, sir, I have too many burdens. I don't know how to get rid of these burdens." John Moore spoke to him, and he told him the story of John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. How a Christian came to the cross and saw the burden rolled away. The young man said, "Sir, would you give me a minute or two?" John Moore went and visited other people in the hospital. When he came back again, he saw the young man, and the young man had a smile on his face. And John Moore said, "Well, where's the burden?" He says, "Sir, it's gone." He says, "When you were away, I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart, and the burden's gone." John Moore went home that night, and as he was sitting thinking about that young man, he wrote these words: "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Friend, if you have a burden this morning, the Lord Jesus delights in you. He loves you. He wants to help you. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He longs to do more for you than you ever imagined. We need the God of heaven delights in his children, and he takes special care of his children. Praise God, our God takes care of us. He leads our steps. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that God loves his people and he delights in his people. Child of God, can you say like David, "He delivered me because he delighted in me"? You know, we have seen our God delivers. We have seen our God delights. I want you to see finally this morning that our God directs. Our God directs. I call these the three D's. Our God delivers, our God delights, and our God directs. David could say in verse 21, "For I have kept the way of the Lord, and not wickedly departed from my God." In verse 30, he said, "The word of the Lord is tried." That word "tried" could be used as proof. The word of the Lord is proof. David said, "I have kept the word of God." You know, God directs us through his word. If you want God to direct you and to direct your life through his statutes, through his word. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is the way of death." And no friends this morning, that is why there's so many people in a backslidden state in God's in this country, because they have turned away from God. They have got away from the perfect path. They have wandered off in their own path. The Bible tells us in verse 18 that his way is perfect. David could say, "I have found God's way and made it my way." Do you, child of God, want your way to be God's way? Then yield to God what he wants for your life. Sadly, today, there are many Christians that do not want their way, which is the wrong way. You know, some time ago, Dr. Brown preached on Jonah. And we can see Jonah was directed by God to go to Nineveh. He wanted to live his life his way. He didn't want to go God's way. And he wanted the life of disobedience. You know, that is the problem today. It's disobedience to the word of God. Oh, friends, this morning, I wonder, have you an obedient heart? When the Lord asks you to do something, will you be willing to do it? Or do you have that disobedient heart? He wanted to go his own way, away from Nineveh, away from the way God wanted him to go. But praise God, we have a long-suffering God. And the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah, and the disobedient heart became an obedient heart. Oh, friend, are you on the right path today? You know what a difference there was with Abraham? He was directed by God to leave his land. He was to leave his country. He was to leave all his relatives. He was to leave the place that he knew. And God told him that he was taking him to a place. He wasn't even told where he was going to. But Abraham stayed on that right path. You know, my friend, our prayer should be, I want his way to be my way. I want to be yielded to what God wants for me. He will direct us the path I go. The Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That should be our prayer every morning. I remember Dr. Paisley told me, Tommy, before I get out of bed, I say, this bed is an altar. Take this body a living sacrifice. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And Lord, point me to some soul today. I was reading the other day about two disciples, and they were on the road to Emmaus. They had gone the wrong pathway. They had just seen the Savior crucified. They had seen him put into a tomb, and they were so downhearted. You could say they were in a backslidden state. They forgot all what the Savior said. The Savior said that he would rise the third day. And there they were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They didn't even know when the Savior walked with them. You know, he walked with them and they didn't even know him. I would have loved to be there. What a Bible class that would have been. Because the Bible tells us that he started to open the scriptures to them. He started to tell them about the scriptures. One of the greatest preacher that ever was in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, started to preach to these two men. And what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us? By the way, they asked him, would he stay? But you know, he had to go. But what happened to these two men? Did they keep going to Emmaus? No, the Bible tells us they done a roundabout turn and got on the right path back to Jerusalem so that they could tell the disciples. Child of God, are you on the right path this morning? God's way is the perfect way. If you want a blessing in your life, keep on God's path. If you want a blessing for your family, keep on the right path. If you want a blessing for your church, keep on the right path. The Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that God's way is perfect. I was given this little poem. A preacher, his wife died very suddenly, and with this I'll close. He read this little poem at his wife's graveside. My father's way may twist and turn. My heart might throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he does know the way. Though night be dark, and it may be, that day will never break. I'll put my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There is so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Though all the way, though dark to me, he makes not one mistake. Oh friend, this morning, I told you at the start, there were things that jumped out of this psalm that blessed my soul. Excuse me. And they were, our God delivers, our God directs, our God delights, and our God's way is perfect. But you know, the thing that really spoke to me is to think that the God of heaven delights in a sinful, redeemed soul. Take that home with you this morning, child of God, that the Lord Jesus loves you. He delights in you. If you're on that right path, he loves you. Oh, friend, if you're in this meeting without Christ, I would say to you to get onto the right path, you need to come and trust him as your own and personal Savior. You need to come and say, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood. And you'll be on that right path. Maybe you're in the meeting or you're tuning in, and you've left that path. You're on the wrong path. And you know you're on the wrong path. You know, friends, he still loves you. He can't delight in you because you've left him. But he loves you and he wants you back. The Bible tells us if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, David could say that our God delivers, our God directs, our God delights, our God's way is perfect. I pray that the Lord will bless this word to your heart this morning.